44 Days, 75 Squadron and the Fight for Australia. Written and read by Michael Veitch. Early one evening in May 1942, nine dishevelled young men, barely recognisable as fighter pilots by the filthy remnants of uniform that hung off their jaundiced and emaciated frames, gathered under a fading canvas army tent to be addressed by their commanding officer. Behind them stood the last of their P-40 Kitty Hawk fighter aircraft, just three battered, patched-up machines held together with butchered parts and wire by exhausted maintenance crews who had been working round the clock for as long as anyone could remember. Alongside the aircraft lay a narrow, dusty strip of well-worn dirt that served as a runway, the featureless expanse of bush that, for the last 6 weeks, had served as both home and front line in a fierce and unrelenting air battle stretching beyond it. This was 7 Mile Strip, on the outskirts of Port Moresby. It was a hellish place. Hot, fetid, disease-ridden, an instant bog when it rained, choking dust dry when it didn't. There were no buildings, no facilities, and no relief. Not from the heat, not from the monotony, not from the stress, and especially not from the enemy. It was a place where even the cooling breezes from the nearby ocean never seemed to reach. In early 1942, this dismal airfield, scraped out of the New Guinea scrub, represented the crucible in the most desperate crisis Australia had ever faced. Like its neighbour, 12 Mile Strip, it was named for the distance it stood from the town it was now somehow supposed to protect, Port Moresby. And these men, these few poor bedraggled bastards, were somehow supposed to do the protecting. As best they could, the men listened to the words of their leader, Squadron Leader Les Jackson. Just that day, he had officially taken over as commanding officer from his brother, John Jackson, shot down and killed just a few days earlier. His Kitty Hawk plunged into the side of nearby Mount Laws with such force that its engine had embedded itself 6 feet into the ground. The only thing left to identify him was one of his flying boots, with a foot still inside. Size 12. John Jackson was a big man. Had one been there, one would have seen, behind the exhaustion, a bitterness in these men's eyes. Jackson's death, many of them believed, had been avoidable, even pointless. His life had ended in the skies almost above where they now stood, after having been ordered to do something he'd countless times told them himself was impossible. Taking on a Japanese Zero one-on-one in a dogfight. Couldn't be done, he'd said. Not with these machines, not these big heavy brutes. Everyone knew the nimble Zero could turn inside a Kitty Hawk in an instant. On a sixpence, one of their pilots, John Pettit, would say years later. Yet, that's what Jackson had been ordered to do by the shiny asses with rings on their sleeves back at Moresby in Melbourne. Just get up there and do it, they told him, you'll see. And, loyal officer that he was, Jackson had obeyed. Proving them wrong cost him his life.